Imagine not being able to read the paper because your hands were shaking. Imagine not being able to read newsprint as your world faded to black. The National Federation of the Blind, Newsline, Indiana. With your host, Lee Martin, and co-host, Florence Myers McSwine.
We have a very special guest today, Ms. Amber O'Haver, who is the executive director of the Indiana Statewide Independent Living Council. So, Amber, welcome to our show today.
Thank you for having me.
So, it's very long title, and we'll break it down, and we'll just call it NSILC.
Yes, perfect.
Okay, so when you hear us say NSILC, we're speaking on the Indiana Statewide Independent Living Council.
You got it.
What is the Independent Living Council and philosophy and movement?
The council here in Indiana, also known as NSILC, its sole purpose or why it was created essentially is to advance the independent living philosophy and movement within the state. So that is our sole job, or not our sole job, but our main priority is to do that. And we do that through many, many ways and many, many approaches and methods. And one of those duties that we have that is federally required of our council is to ensure the development and the monitoring and evaluation of what's called the state plan for independent living in the state. And so, also known as the SPIL, we love our acronyms in the world of disability. So there's another one for you. The SPIL is the state plan for independent living. And that plan sort of lays out for the independent living network in our state how we're going to implement services through the Centers for Independent Living, which are different from the council, and provide those services to people with disabilities all across the state, and what that looks like, and then how we're also going to collaborate and partner to make sure that services and goals and objectives that are within that plan are getting accomplished or achieved or adjusted as necessary throughout the course of the three-year state plan.
Okay. So. And so what organizations, agencies, individuals use your service, Amber?
So the Centers for Independent Living are a little different, like I said, in the council, and the folks that they serve are people with disabilities. So our peers with disabilities are who they serve. What's very unique about the independent living and the philosophy and how it's very different than any other disability-related entity or organizations in our state or across the country is that it is driven and led by people with disabilities. It was created by people with disabilities for people with disabilities. Majority of the folks that serve on the council are actual people with disabilities, and majority of the folks that work at the Centers for Independent Living across the state and their boards and their folks in management or decision-making positions are also people with disabilities. And the whole reason and purpose that it is like that, or why the centers and the council are set up like that, is because what we've discovered as a disability community is that we learn best from our peers. And we are our own best experts on what our needs are and know how best to, a lot of times, achieve those needs. So we help support our peers, teach our peers, guide our peers in their life choices and the way they go about deciding things and working on their own goals or mission, personal missions, I suppose, to ensure that they are achieving what they think is best for them. And we understand that because we've experienced it. We've experienced having to deal with barriers and related when we're in the middle of trying to work through government-related systems or programs or services. And so we're able to offer real-life, real-world guidance and support to our peers with disabilities because we've been there, we've lived it, we know what it's like to achieve things, we know what it's like to face barriers and challenges and how hard and difficult that can be on a daily basis, sometimes many, many, many times during a day. So
your position as executive director, what does that entail?
So it entails a lot, actually. So essentially, I'm in charge, or I guess responsible for, if you will, ensuring that the council runs efficiently, effectively, and operates in the manner that it's required to. We're also, so we're governor-appointed council, so all of the members that serve on our council are appointed by Governor Holcomb at this time, and staff that are hired by the council and put in place by the council are all people with disabilities or Hoosiers with disabilities in Indiana. And we want to make sure that we are adhering to what the state plan requires us to do and require and support its implementation, support the centers, create partnerships and collaborations with different for-profit, nonprofit entities between us and the centers to further the independent living philosophy in our state, but then also to ensure that our peers have the kinds of supports and services they need to be independent and achieve their own goals and objectives as they work through their day-to-day things in life. So,
yeah. Now, there are a multitude of disabilities throughout our country and state. And you have a wide range of individuals on the council. Do you have anyone now that is blind?
We do not. We are actually kicking off our membership recruitment campaign for this year in just a couple weeks. So we encourage anyone with any disability to apply to potentially be appointed by Governor Holcomb to serve on our council. So we would love to have individuals of even more types of disabilities serving on the council. So, like both of you, it'd be wonderful members to serve on the council. Hint, hint. So that's the other thing I haven't mentioned about the independent living philosophy is and the movement. It isn't just for folks with physical disabilities or folks for mental health disabilities or intellectual or developmental disabilities. So we're a cross-disability organization, a cross-disability movement, meaning we work together as individuals of all disabilities, all varying types of disabilities, no matter the significance of disability, and come together to ensure the rights for people with disabilities are upheld, are implemented and supported. And so that's really critical and key. And we work with any age. So that's also something the centers do as well.
Okay. So. There are a number of roundtables that are inclusive of people with disabilities, similar to what you're talking about. So what makes yours different?
What makes ours, I think, so different is that as our philosophy intends us to do is we are the ones actually leading conversations, driving change ourselves. So when I say we, I'm talking about people with disabilities. Oftentimes, and I've been in many, many meetings, many, many rooms, been a part of many, many roundtables where people with disabilities are included in those. And a lot of times, though, they're included as tokens. So they don't have a real voice. They're not the ones really leading the conversations or leading the change or a part of, bringing forth new legislation in our state or pursuing new legislation in our state or being a part of, like, pushing new legislation or legislative changes, at the State House. It's a lot of individuals without disabilities speaking for us instead of with us. And so that's how we feel like we're very different as a council. And we really want these other committees or roundtables or other groups and our allies, if you will, to help support us with leading these conversations and driving the changes that need to happen in our state for people with disabilities or our peers with disabilities. And we're not quite there yet. I have to say we've got a challenge when it comes to ensuring we have really good, strong disability allies in our state. A lot of our allies are very well-intended and are have accomplished a lot in terms of ensuring strong legislation that supports people with disabilities or ensuring certain policies that are in effect that support people with disabilities. But we really need from our allies at this point in time and need from them on a continual basis is for them to create opportunities for us to lead and direct that change and create platforms for us to use our voice and to be heard and help mentor us, if you will, if we aren't quite up to par with a particular type of legislation or a policy or knowing how things work. We don't need you to do the work for us. We need you to help teach us how to do our own work. I'm challenging our allies to help us create those platforms, open those doors, pop open those windows, whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Help us work with us as opposed to for us to make and lead these continued changes.
Advocates in Action. And Amber, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes, I sure can. Very excited to talk about Advocates in Action. So Advocates in Action is a advanced leadership and systemic advocacy training program that was actually created by NSILC, or people with disabilities, or our peers with disabilities, for our peers with disabilities. So it's a training program just for people with disabilities. And what makes it so unique and unlike anything else, anywhere else in the country, is that all of our trainers and facilitators that we are bringing in to conduct the different sessions for at the Advocates in Action training program are national disability rights speakers that have disabilities. So you have these national leaders who are going to be mentors or are strong leaders and peers helping to train and guide Hoosiers with disabilities in the state of Indiana to become better, stronger advocates and leaders in our state. What our ultimate goal with this program and creation of this training was to start to build a really strong core or pool of what we are calling tongue-in-cheek, an army of advocates, if you will. We don't have that in Indiana for whatever reason, and we wanted to make sure that we created a program that really spoke to the movement, really spoke to the philosophy, and that is why we have trainers with disabilities coming in to train folks with disabilities to be better, stronger advocates and leaders, and hopefully through this training program and actually putting into action what they learned during the course of the training program, it's going to help sustain their work in the world of advocacy moving forward after they graduate from the program. So, yeah, we're very excited about it. It's our first year. So, and we got to give a shout out to the Governor's Council for People with Disabilities to help support us funding-wise with that. So, thank you.
Okay. Now, this course of training, now when does it begin, Amber?
So right now we're taking applications through May 12th. That is the application deadline. And then the training kicks off in June. So it's held June through October for one Friday and Saturday of each of those months. So June, July, August, September, and October. So, yeah.
So how would an individual make application to that?
So they can go to our website, www.nsilc.org. And on our front page, if you scroll down just past the "Hi, we're NSILC" part, there is an application. It's in a Word document, or there's an actual online application folks can click on and go to and fill that out pretty easily. Complete the different questions in the reference section and send that on into us. And those are going to be reviewed after the deadline. And then because it is a competitive program, we will be selecting those that we feel are the best fit to take part in the training program this year.
So that's www.insilc.org.
www.insilc.org.
Okay, just want to make sure we have that clear. Okay.
Yeah.
And we recommend that individuals do apply for that. Mm-hmm. And what are the other goals that you have in store for NSILC?
Yeah, so we have lots of different other things in the work. We're doing a lot around starting to build a nice program sort of and start to implement. We're hoping next year what's called Allies in Action. So it's sort of a complementary or supplement to sort of Advocates in Action. So we're going to start building this army or core of advocates with disabilities in the state of Indiana. Well, we also want to ensure that we have really strong allies and allies to understand what it means to be a really good ally for people with disabilities, or with people with disabilities, not for people with disabilities. And so that program will start to roll out hopefully in the next year or so as we get through our first year of Advocates in Action, and then we'll kind of roll into what Allies in Action will be. And a lot of that will center around disability allyship and what that looks like and means, and help provide sort of a boot camp sort of training for existing allies or folks that want to become new allies or better allies for people with disabilities or with people with disabilities in the state of Indiana. So we're also looking at, we just have been talking about a little bit, rolling out and working with some different film providers in the state of Indiana to kind of roll out some disability-related films across the state. So one that we'll be featuring in the coming months and toward the end of the year will be a film called, or it's actually a documentary called Piss on Pity. I know it's a little sort of in-your-face sort of thing, but it's about the independent living movement and ADAPT. So the 40-year history of ADAPT. I'm not sure how many folks are familiar with ADAPT, but ADAPT played a significantly huge role in the creation and the passing of the Americans with Disabilities Act and several other types of legislation many, many years ago. So, so films such as that really speak to the independent living philosophy and movement, that challenge assumptions, that really challenge typical or stereotypical or behaviors and practices that aren't really furthering equity for people with disabilities in the state of Indiana and across our country. So, and that needs to change here.
And so you're looking for strong advocates,
yes,
to help promote this initiative.
Yes, any initiatives that we're, get involved with the work that we're doing on the state plan, get involved in serving on the council, apply to be part of our Advocates in Action program. If you're someone who doesn't have a disability but wants to get involved or get further involved in supporting disability rights or get involved in the independent living movement and supporting our philosophy, be on the lookout for our Allies in Action or disability allyship trainings and offerings that we will have coming next year.
The National Federation of the Blind, Newsline, Indiana. For more information, go to nfb-in.org or call 855-963-6476. That's 855-963-6476. The National Federation of the Blind encourages you to live the life you want.